Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Talking Hockey Sense. I am Chris Peters. It is episode 115 of the podcast, and after a two-week break to go to the World Under-18 Championship, we are back, and we are talking hockey. We're talking the NHL draft, and it's NHL draft lottery day, the day that we're recording this. So we won't have the results by the time you listen to this. However, we're going to talk a lot about the players that are going to likely go in that draft lottery range, the guys that are kind of on the bubble, the guys that are, you know, we know Macklin Celebrity. We're going to talk about all of that here in this episode, because we've got that. We've got my Under-18 World Championship coverage. Hopefully you were reading that while I was gone. And then we'll talk a little bit about some of the guys that helped their draft stock and things like that. And also a lot of great things happening on Flow Hockey right now. We've got the ECHL Kelly Cup playoffs. We've got the USHL Clark Cup finals coming up. We've got a little preview on that later. But there's so many good things happening on Flow Hockey. It's that really fun time of year where we're in the playoffs and a lot is going on. So make sure you are subscribed so that you can get all of that great coverage. And then, of course, if you have not yet subscribed to this podcast, go ahead and do so on your audio app of choice. Otherwise, you can watch us on flowhockey.tv via the Flow Sports app or on YouTube. So make sure you interact with this podcast whatever way you choose, whether it's visually or audially. Is that even a word? I don't even know, but we're making it up now. So however you want to interact with this podcast, please do so. And make sure you leave a kind rating and review on your app of choice to continue to get the word out about Talking Hockey Sense. All right. So it is draft lottery day. Some lucky team is going to find out today on Tuesday that they are the winner of the Macklin Celebrini sweepstakes here. So that is a pretty exciting thing, right? You know, like, hey, Macklin Celebrini very well could be our new number one center of the future. And that's what teams are going to learn today. So everybody knows Macklin Celebrini is going number one. What we don't know is what's going to happen after Macklin Celebrini goes. And even though we don't know the order yet, I think we have a pretty good idea of the 15, 16 or so players that are likely to be considered for a draft lottery range pick. And coming out of the World Under-18 Championship, we're getting very close to the end of the draft evaluation season, which essentially ends with the Memorial Cup in the CHL, and then we go into the draft combine. Things kind of shake up a little bit after that, and then we pretty much have a good idea of at least around where players are going to go. There are always those draft day surprises and things like that, but we have a pretty good idea. So as we look at the lottery, and once the order is known, I will have a full draft lottery mock draft on Flow Hockey. So make sure you, after you listen to this episode, go check that out, which will give you an idea of what I think will shake out based on the information that I have right now, and certainly on what I think could happen at the NHL draft based on who wins the lottery. So we'll keep an eye on that. But after Macklin Celebrini, I think that there is starting to become at least a little bit on the growing consensus about the next forward, at least in terms of talent. And I think the buzz about Ivan Demidov, the Russian forward, who is, you know, similar to Matvei Michkov last year, really kind of this mysterious individual for a lot of people, because when they're in the KHL, we don't get to see them play as much. And unlike Michkov, we haven't even seen Demidov play in some of these international tournaments that Michkov did play in and was able to kind of, you know, get a look at him. So the thing about Demidov that's so fascinating is that he averaged 2 points per game in the MHL, which is the U20 level in Russia. It's not an amazing level of hockey in terms of, you know, the quality. However, when you see a player that plays like Demidov and do what he does and do what he did there, and look at the historic kind of rise of his game, you start to get a little bit more excited. Now, the thing that I think teams will be at least a little bit concerned about is, what is the development plan for him? Will he play in the KHL next year? He's under contract until 2024-25. So he's actually, his contract is up before Matvey Michkov's is, and of course Michkov was drafted last year. So I think that there is a lot less Russian fear about Demidov than there was last season. And as we saw last season, Matvey Michkov went, Dmitry Simashov went, Daniel Boot went. So the Russian fear wasn't as escalated. And I don't think it will be with Demidov either. Also, Gold Star Sports Management, which is the agency that represents Demidov, is bringing some of their top Russian players to Florida just before the draft to have a little bit of a meet and greet with scouts, to run them through some drills, to kind of do basically a mini combine because they're not invited to the combine. So the Russian players, obviously, there's this kind of debate about what they'll do. But I think it's going to be very shocking to me if Ivan Demidov goes any lower than 5 in this draft. So when we're talking about the draft lottery and the teams that are going to be picking, you know, whoever gets Macklin Celebrini, keep an eye on a team that's desperately seeking scoring, because they are going to probably be looking at Ivan Demidov as a likely pick in that top 5 range. So Ivan Demidov is a name to know. After Demidov, we talk a lot about these, and I'm not, you know, saying that the defensemen won't go before him, but there's basically a group of defensemen. And depending on who you ask, the size of that group will vary because of the quality of the player in that group. But to me, it starts with Artem Levshinov. We've talked a lot about him. We're going to have a bunch of scouting reports coming out on flowhockey.tv and also on our YouTube page, where we've got video, we've got me talking about players, we've got different things like that. And Artem Levshinov, really from the beginning of the season, has been my number one defenseman in this class. And every step of the way, he has not disappointed. To me, I think he's only gotten better. To me, I think that he's grown his game. And to me, I think he's the next best defenseman. But that's not a universal opinion. There are people that will say Anton Silaev is the next guy up. 6'7" defenseman with range, with the ability to defend, with a physical game, with some offensive feel for the game. That's another guy that teams are going to be looking at. So that's in that group. Sam Dickinson is in that group as well. You talk about a guy that's got tremendous athletic tools. He's produced at an incredibly high level. For the size that he is, it's very rare to find a defenseman that's put up the kind of numbers that he has put up this year for the London Knights. He's played big minutes on a team that is going to play for an OHL championship. Then you've also got the two dynamic offensive defensemen that are undersized compared to the guys that we just mentioned. But you look at Zane Parekh and his tremendous goal scoring ability for the Saginaw Spirit. You look at Zeev Bouyam leading Denver to a national championship with one of the greatest freshman seasons in history in terms of production by a defenseman in the NCAA. So that's another group. And then some people would also include Carter Yakimchuk in that group as well. Tremendously dynamic defenseman from the WHL, good size, good skating ability, does a lot of things well. So I think that you're looking in that group. So right there with that defenseman, you've got Levshinov, Silaev, Dickinson, Parekh, Bouyam, and Yakimchuk. And that's a 6-player block. And what we've seen in the draft over the years, who goes first? The centers and the defensemen are typically going first. Demidov is an elite level winger, which would allow him to potentially break the mold in that regard. But centers and defensemen typically in the top 10, top 15 of the draft are going to go. We saw it last year. We've seen it many years before. Those are the premium positions. Those are the ones that people are spending draft capital on. Those are the ones that the draft lottery teams are going to be looking at. So when you see the draft lottery results after Tuesday night, you look and I say, you can, all those names that I just mentioned, they're going to go in that range. I don't think a single one of them falls outside of the lottery range. I think that there is just too much, that there is going to be that run on defensemen. And as soon as the first one goes, it could go boom, 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 boom. There are some forwards that could break that up. The first one that I think a lot of people are looking at is Caden Lindstrom. And we talked about him on the podcast not long ago. There is a risk factor with Caden Lindstrom that I think teams are seriously considering, and that's that he was injured a good chunk of this year. He had multiple injuries. There is concern about his back, and there will be a lot of medical testing at the combine. Lindstrom did not play at the Under-18 World Championship. He was available, but wasn't healthy enough to go. So they shut him down. He doesn't go to that. That would have been a good place to, you know, get rid of some of those fears. And if he went with Canada, he would also have a gold medal, which we're going to talk about in our next segment. And what an incredible tournament that was to watch. But But Lindstrom is the guy where it's, you know, big center. I think there's debate about, is he a true center? Is he going to move to the wing? The, you know, there are concerns about hockey sense and different things like that. But there's no question that he can skate. He can hit. He can play. He's got the, you know, he's got great skill. So that's another player where I think he is firmly in the draft lottery range. But I think that the his status as a lock in the top five has diminished. And I, and after talking to scouts in Finland at the World Under-18s, that concern about the injuries, especially with a player that plays a physical brand of hockey as he does, is a factor in their decision process of who to take. So I think there's a lot of risk there. So I think you're going to see Lindstrom potentially in that 5 to 10 range. So that is something that will be interesting to watch. Another guy where you have a lot of differing opinions, Berkeley Catton, highly skilled, incredibly quick, good off the rush, makes a lot of plays, you know, scored a ton this year in the WHL. I think he's a firm lock as a lottery pick, just a matter of where does he go from there. I think the teams do believe he could potentially be a center. They're not 100% sold. He doesn't have the size profile necessarily, but he does have the skill. He does have the puck carrying abilities, the ability to drive play. Those are all important factors. So Berkeley Catton is another guy that you're going to want to watch very carefully as your teams are selecting. I think if you're a team that you have a team that's anywhere really from about 7 to 12, then you're saying, okay, there might be a chance we get a Berkeley Catton here. We might get one of the more dynamic players in this draft class. Another one of the wild card forwards in this class is going to be Cole Yzerman. I think everyone agrees that he is the best goal scorer in this class. He surpassed Cole Caufield for the record at the National Team Development Program. And he has 127 goals. He scored his 127th goal in the gold medal game at the Under-18 World Championship over 2 years, 9 goals in each of the last 2 World Under-18s. However, his draft stock has fallen throughout the season, and I don't think that he did, even though he scored 9 goals in that Under-18 World Championship, I don't think he helped his stock all that much. I think that it was more of the same. There were a couple games where he looked a little lost. There were a couple games where you're saying, you know, does he have the right shot selection? Is he making the right decision with the puck on his stick? When he's not scoring goals, is he doing other things that help you? If he's not scoring goals, is he making the wrong kind of plays? Is he forcing it too much? We saw evidence of that in that tournament, which has been prevalent throughout the entire season. I still think Yzerman is a lottery pick. I think that he will be a top 15 pick, but I think he will be in the back half of that. So if you're in that 10 to 15 range, or even in that 15 to 20 range, you have to feel like Cole Yzerman is a player that is going to potentially be there for you. Another one of the forwards that I find very interesting in terms of where he's going to go is Konsta Helenius. Konsta Helenius was at the World Under-18 Championship. He played for Finland. Finland exited in the quarterfinal. They did not play well at all in the tournament. He did not play well in the tournament. However, Konsta Helenius was just named to the senior national team for Finland, and pretty much all of the guys that have done that have been high draft picks. You think about Patrick Laine, Kaapo Kakko. I believe they're I'm blanking right now, but I think, you know, Mikael Granlund was there in his draft year. So they're the players that are of that caliber that play for the senior national team as an under-18 player are typically big-time players. Now, Konsta Helenius is a sub-6-foot forward and center, but he is a center. He's sturdily built. He is a strong player. He's hard to knock off the puck. He's a very confident player as well. I like him an awful lot in terms of, you know, I think he's a top 10 caliber selection. Will he go in the top 10? I think remains to be seen. It's going to depend on that run-on defenseman. It's going to depend on where Demidov goes. It's going to depend potentially on what the situation is with Lindstrom and how comfortable teams are. But Helenius is one of those guys that could go a little bit higher than we expect because of how much respect he's garnered being on the senior national team as an under-18 player. Now, if he has a great world under eight, or great men's world championship where he's playing a top 6 role, which as of right now, that's kind of where he's penciled in for Finland, that's going to speak volumes about where his pro potential is and where he can go next. And, you know, there's a question later in the podcast about if anybody's NHL ready. And Helenius is one of the guys that if he does what he does at the World Championship and he proves he had a great season in pro hockey in Finland. So that's a guy that I think a lot of people are watching out for as well. So then it gets down a little bit further into this lottery range. And the guys that I think are interesting to talk about there, Tiija Ginla, who just had a great World Under 18 championship. I don't know if you saw on our Flow Hockey socials, but there's a great picture of Tiija and his dad, Jerome, behind him on the other side of the glass. You have to think about how many times did Tiija watch his dad from that side of the glass. Now his dad is watching him. He scored a goal in the dramatic comeback that Canada had to win the gold medal. And Tiija Ginla has certainly improved his stock. Now he's another guy. Average size, good skater, not elite level, but good enough skater, high-end hand skills, really good shot, offensively capable. I think he's a player that could go anywhere from 10 to 15 as well. So if you're in that lottery range, I think Tiija Ginla is a lock in that lottery. So that's another player. After that, I feel like we've covered with the players that I've mentioned already. I feel like we've covered the guys that I feel most confidently will be picked within those first 15 to 16 or first 17 picks of this draft. Where it gets a little bit interesting is what players could potentially force their way into that conversation. Beckett Seneca of the Oshawa Generals is absolutely one of those players that I think is in that mix. He has had a tremendous OHL postseason. He has been scoring a lot. He's got, you know, the size, the competitiveness, the scoring ability. I think he's a guy that could potentially force his way into this discussion. Beyond that, I feel like there is enough of a gap with those other players that, you know, that we haven't mentioned. I think that those are those guys that we've talked about. The gap starts to really grow between there. So this is a great year to be in the lottery because I feel really good about all those guys that I talked about being in that draft lottery. I don't feel as great about some of the other guys. And so I think if you are in the lottery and you nab one of the guys that we just talked about, your team is going to be very happy. So keep an eye on those draft lottery rankings because they're going to be real interesting. I think some of the other guys on the bubble, I did want to spend a little bit of extra time on Adam Juracek, who's been injured all year. We watched Czechia at the World Under 18 Championship. He was not with them. With him, they were able to get into the championship game of the Hlinka-Gretzky Cup. Without him, they didn't even make it to the semifinals at the Under 18 World Championship, losing to a Slovakia team that was very young and very inexperienced. And so seeing Czechia without Adam Juracek makes me wonder how much did they miss him in that environment. And I think that actually helped his draft stock, oddly enough. So that's another guy on the bubble. The one guy that I did want to spend more time on, this is going to kind of bleed in between our two segments because what happened at the World Under 18 Championship really impacts what I think people are going to say about Trevor Connolly going forward. So before we get into the World Under 18 talk, let's just talk about Trevor Connolly. Is he a top 15 talent? Unquestionably in this draft, talent alone, you would say he is possibly a top 5 talent in this draft. But as you've listened to this podcast all year, as you've followed the story, if you are following the draft, you know that he is the most polarizing player in this draft class. There is the stuff that happens off the ice. There have been a number of incidents. You can read all about him. We've got a story about him that Ryan Sykes did on Flow Hockey. The Athletic did a major expose on him and some of the behaviors off the ice, on the ice that really contributed to his reputation. And he did himself zero favors in the gold medal game of the World Under 18 Championship when he took a major penalty with 10 and a half minutes to go with his team leading 3-2. Major penalty for contact to the head, clear penalty, the correct call. 5-minute major, Canada scores 3 times on the power play and on the major power play and wins the gold medal. Team USA wasn't going to throw him under the bus after the game. They weren't going to, you know, pile on, and you feel bad. He's a young kid that makes a mistake and he made it in the biggest moment. And the other thing is that Trevor Connolly was the only skater in the lineup from outside of the national team development program. Those guys worked 2 years for that tournament. He came in. So ouch, right? That's not great. However, it's what happened in that moment that reminded people that some of the things that are concerns about Trevor Connolly off the ice are also concerns on the ice because he's been many times ejected in the USHL. He has been suspended in the USHL. He has made a number of dangerous plays. And in this game where he has the checking to the head, he actually, if you watch the replay in hockey, things happen really fast, right? They go quick. A second. If you have a full second, that's enough time to make a decision to make a different play. He goes in, delivers a head hit on a player that was engaged with another team, with another USA player at the end of a shift that they had absolutely dominated. USA had dominated that shift, and they're trying to keep that puck in, and he delivers that hit. He had a chance to make a different play and to make a different decision, yet he went for the absolute worst decision. And that, to me, raises concerns about hockey sense. It raises concerns about controlling your emotions on the ice. And those are the types of things that NHL teams are going to think about more. So when I say Trevor Connelly is undoubtedly a top 5 to 10 talent in this draft, it's about the hand skills. It's about the skating. It's about the way that he plays. It's about the different things that he does. But when you look at the things off the ice and then what happened in that gold medal game, it was a brutal time to remind everyone after having a very strong tournament, 11 points in that tournament. He played great, scored a Michigan goal, did all these great things. But in that moment, his last impression of his draft season is that moment. And now he's going to have to face the music at the combine. And boy, is it going to be interesting to see what teams have to say to him about what happened there. And then on top of that, the other stuff off the ice. So is Trevor Connelly a lottery pick on talent? Absolutely. But when my draft rankings come out, he will be lower on my list. I don't know exactly where yet. I haven't made it. But there are a lot of concerns that have arisen out of that. So we already talked about the World Under 18 Championship with that, but let's actually talk about it because that's where I spent my last 2 weeks. We're going to talk Under 18 Worlds now. And what a tournament it was. It wasn't necessarily the best 2024 draft viewing. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think a lot of the 2024 draft eligible players in this didn't play all that well, didn't necessarily stand out all that much, but there was plenty to be learned, plenty to be gleaned, and obviously just an incredible final. And Team USA was up 3-2 on Canada with 10 and a half minutes to go in the period. Trevor Connelly takes the major penalty. Canada scores 3 goals on the major power play. Gavin McKenna scores, Tejas Ginla scores, Cole Beaudoin scores, and that ends the game. 6-4 is the final as Canada wins gold. And the first time since 2021 when they were led to gold by Shane Wright and Connor Bedard in a tremendous gold medal game against Russia. So there's a lot of things that I want to kind of get to about this Under 18 World Championship. Obviously, that gold medal game, the massive comeback from Canada, the big performances. But I mean, really, the story of the tournament was not about the 2024 draft eligibles. It was about the guys that are not draft eligible until 2025. And in Gavin McKenna's case, 2026, what a phenom. So let's talk Gavin McKenna first, because he ends the tournament with 20 points, the most all-time by a Canadian. The most before that was 15, so he breaks the record by 5 points. He has 4 points in the gold medal game, including a hat trick, just a tremendous backhand goal that he scored on a power play that really kind of helped get his team off the schneid a little bit there. He gets the first goal of the game for Canada. Then he scores the game-tying goal on the power play. Then he scores the empty net goal to ice it. Hands, feet, hockey sense, competitiveness, commitment off the puck. The only box that Gavin McKenna doesn't check yet, and it's one that we wouldn't expect him to check for a few more years, is he's not the strongest player physically. He's still growing. He's 16. He is going to get that Connor Bedard level hype, and it is going to be worth it. You can read my full story about Gavin McKenna, what I saw in Finland. But let me tell you right now, I obviously had heard about Gavin McKenna before going to the tournament. He was the player I was most excited to see because I've heard all this great stuff about how he played in the WHL this year. You know, clearly he'll be the WHL Rookie of the Year. Clearly he'll be one of the guys that is gunning for a U20 spot as an underager next year. Could potentially play in 2 World Juniors before his NHL draft season. He's special. There's just no way around it. He's a special player, Gavin McKenna, an absolute superstar in the making. And to watch the way that he played in this tournament is to see the emergence of a future superstar. 20 points, that is tied for the 3rd most ever in the tournament behind James Hagan, who we'll get to in a second, Nikita Kucherov, and then he's tied with Jack Hughes and Will Smith. So all, you know, Nikita Kucherov was a 2nd round pick, but he's a Hart Trophy winner. You've got Jack Hughes, who's a number 1 overall pick. You've got James Hagans, who could be a number 1 overall pick. Will Smith, who was a number 4 overall pick. I mean, this is pretty elite company that Gavin McKenna has put himself in at 16 years old. It's the highest scoring tournament ever by a 16-year-old player in the World Under 18s. And, you know, that surpassed Alex Ovechkin, and a number of other players that just had tremendous tournaments. And so Gavin McKenna, 2026, start the hype train now, hop on board. It's okay. It's not too early. I'm telling you, when we see these guys at tournaments like this, when we see the production that he had in the WHL, I mean, this is a guy that could potentially be a 160-point player in the WHL by the time he's draft eligible, maybe even more. And we haven't seen, we've seen one of those. We've seen one guy surpass 140 points in that league at in his draft season. That was Connor Bedard. So we are talking big-time player Gavin McKenna. Meanwhile, James Higgins did set the record. Team USA, he had 3 points or more in every game he played except one, and unfortunately, it was the one that mattered most. He was held off the score sheet in the gold medal game, so he had broken the single tournament scoring record held by Nikita Kucherov, which I had seen back in 2011. I was at that tournament. Nikita Kucherov, I was like, who the heck is this guy? Why is he not way higher on every draft board? And all of a sudden, you just are like, wow, this is a special player. Well, we saw James Higgins take down his record this year, which had stood since 2011. And Higgins will be definitely in the mix for number one next year. He is, you know, it was one of the more incredible automatic tournaments I've seen. He had a 6-point game against Finland in the last preliminary round game. You know, he was dominant in every game they needed him to be except for one. I think Canada actually really game planned extremely well for him. They put some guys that I think really helped their draft stock on him a lot. Jet Luchenko is one of those guys who, you know, we didn't talk about him as a lottery guy, but I think that's a guy we're talking in the 20 range that very well could get picked there. I mean, he played a lot against James Higgins. Cole Beaudoin played a lot against James Higgins, you know, so they were able to shut him down. But before that, we really saw a player that was just automatic, making tons of plays, scoring goals, you know, creating opportunities for his teammates, playing really strong off the puck, you know, two-way style. Loved everything James Higgins did. He's absolutely in the mix for number one next year, as is Porter Martone, who is Canada's captain. He played great. He also is now second all-time in single tournament scoring for Canada. He passed up Macklin Celebrini as well, and so he was pretty incredible. So Porter Martone, big guy, smooth, smart, skilled, and he plays hard. And so, you know, when you have a guy that's 6'3", still growing, still getting stronger, that's a guy that you say, hey, there's definitely number one potential there. So we'll be watching that very closely. Some other guys that had really historic tournaments. Cole Yzerman did end up scoring his 9th goal. So he has 18 career goals, which is good enough for second all-time in the tournament with Cole Caulfield, tied for second. Number one is Alex Ovechkin, who had 23, so pretty good there. But Cole Yzerman with another 9 goals. Cole Hutson also became the National Team Development Program's all-time leading scorer among defensemen. He also had his best game in the gold medal game, 3-point game for him. I love the way that he played in this tournament. I do think he helped his draft stock. I don't know if he'll go in the first round, but I do think that he is a guy that helped himself in that tournament and played his heart out really in that gold medal game. So let's talk a little bit more about players that really did help their stock. You know, I mentioned TJ Ginla earlier, as I think he's going to be a lottery pick. I think he did everything he needed to do in this tournament. It wasn't an amazing tournament, but he was productive. He scored big goals. He made plays at the right times. I love how hard he works off the puck as well. He's always getting a stick on puck. There's a lot of pro habits in his game. I think we saw that in this tournament. Teddy Stiga. It seemed like when USA needed a big goal, Teddy Stiga was delivering for them constantly. He didn't have a point in the gold medal game either. But I also see, you see the tenacity, the speed. He's not a big guy, but he does all those things. I think that's going to allow him to be a second-round draft pick and probably an early second-round draft pick. I think he does all the kind of little things that help a team win. And then on top of that, he's got that speed, which gives you less concern about the size and if there's anything there. So Teddy Stiga headed to Boston College next year with his linemate James Higgins. So once again, the rich get richer. But I think that's another guy that helped his stock. Also on Team USA, EJ Emery, you guys already know that this is a player I've been hyping up all year. He's a fringe first round candidate for most. For me, he's firmly in my first round. You know, I think with his size, his athleticism, his skating ability, his ability to defend. And what we saw in this tournament was a player that was always in the right position, always making good decisions, playing confidently offensively. Even though he's not a very good offensive player, he was making good, conscious decisions with the puck. He escapes pressure well. He's incredibly poised. I saw everything that I wanted to see from EJ Emery in this tournament and more that says, hey, this is a guy that is at worst a number 4 defenseman in the NHL. And I think number 4 defenseman, if you get a top 4 defenseman in your first round draft, I think you're feeling really good, especially when he's a bigger guy, when he's got that ability to play the way that he does and has that skating ability. I just think there's going to be a lot there. Another guy I really liked in the tournament, Emil Hemming. I think that, you know, even though Finland underwhelmed in this tournament and some of the other star players did as well, he did a lot to help himself. I think he played with some quickness, some confidence. He was scoring goals for Finland. He's a really good shot. He's a power play weapon. You know, he's got size. I think that I had some concerns about his skating ability, but, you know, seeing him against his own age group, you see that he's really not that far. It's not a concern. It's not something that will lower his draft stock in my eyes. So I like him quite a bit. So Emil Hemming, I think Cole Beaudoin, Jet Luchenko, two guys I just mentioned, the job they did at both ends of the ice. Luchenko was able to produce. He's quick. He's aggressive. He's got that work ethic. Beaudoin is a machine. And when he's forechecking, he is absolutely relentless in puck pursuit. He does all those little things that help you win. And I think he'll probably be a back half of the first round player, but I don't think that he gets out of the first round because he does all those little things that help you win, even though he doesn't have that necessarily that offensive skill that's going to say he's going to be a big-time producer in the NHL. So those are players that I really liked. So who hurt their draft stock in this? And now I'm going to take a sip of water for this because, you know, obviously these takes are – they're not that hot, but we want to make sure we're cooled down for them. All right. So – one player that I thought really underwhelmed in this tournament that I like as a first round candidate is Liam Greentree of the Windsor Spitfires. He played for Team Canada. He ended up basically being the 13th forward at the end of the tournament. He couldn't really get on the ice, couldn't keep him on the ice. He lacks pace. He's not as physical as he needs to be at his size. He's a little too easy to knock off the puck as well. And so seeing those things when you're playing against elite level peers, they stand out a little bit more. And I felt like he got a little bit lost in the mix with a Canada team that was just quicker than he was able to be. And so that's unfortunate. He did have some goals. He had some good plays in the tournament. It wasn't all bad. He's got really good hands. He's got great scoring abilities. He can shoot, you know, and he's got that size. It's just now he's got to put it together. And I think that that's something that we saw in this tournament. He hasn't really put it together yet. So that's a concern for me going forward. A guy that I liked at the under 18 Five Nations in February and then saw him again here, Alphonse Fry, defenseman for Sweden. Really good skater. I just think that he doesn't do enough. He doesn't complete plays. There are a lot of things that he does that look flashy, that look great, but they don't really lead to anything. Defensively, he can be a bit of a liability. You know, I think for me, he's starting to look like a more mid-round pick than anything closer to the second round. I like what he does with his feet, and he has some ability with the puck on his stick, but I just did not see enough to really think that he's going in the right direction for his draft stock. You know, I think for Team USA, Camille Bednarik, who was in – he looked great at that Five Nations. I thought he was on the rise as a draft prospect. You know, he was basically Team USA's number 3 center. I just feel like he kind of got lost in the mix here. Actually, he was their number 2 center. But, you know, I didn't think that second line generated a ton unless, you know, Cole Iserman was getting a one-timer off. So that was a little bit of a concern for me, seeing that Camille Bednarik, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's got good work ethic. He can clear the road. I just didn't see a lot of impact from him in this. Czech defenseman Thomas Galvis played at the World Under 20s, you know, World Juniors. You know, I had high expectations for him in this tournament. Didn't necessarily see that translate. Czechia was a disappointing team in the end. They had some good moments, some really bad moments. But Thomas Galvis was a guy that I expected to take charge, especially in the absence of Adam Juracek, who wasn't there. He didn't really. And so that to me was a little bit unfortunate because I think there's a good player there. I'm just really starting to struggle to see what he would ultimately be at the NHL level as a sub-6-foot defenseman that isn't necessarily overly dynamic in the offensive elements of the game. Lastly, this one is a bit graded on a curve, and it's unfortunate, but Aaron Kiviharju, who came into this draft season as a projected first-round draft pick, injures himself or gets injured in September, loses the entire season, rehabs, gets himself back to be healthy enough, and boy, was it great to see him on the ice. It was his third World Under 18s. I don't necessarily know that he was all the way back from the injury. I don't know that he was 100%. The mobility looked fine. I think he's a really good backward skater. He's an incredibly intelligent player. He moves pucks well. Just didn't really seem to impact the game much on a game-to-game basis. And especially in games where they played against tougher competition, he didn't really bring it. And so to me, that's what, you know, I the lasting impression, unfortunately, for Aaron Kiviharju is there are more questions than answers about where he's going to go in the draft. Everybody's seen his full body of work. He's been in two prior under-18 world championships. He's played in big moments, but he's an undersized defenseman that needs to be able to impact the game at a high level offensively. And I think there are too many questions. I do not think unless a team has done so much homework and they're so confident, it's going to be very hard for me to see him going in the first round. And it's going to be very hard for me to see him even going in the top half of the second round, because I think there are so many questions. And a player of his size, it was just a bad time to be injured, obviously, because he would have played all year in Liga. He would have done all these different things. We would have seen so much. We would have this. But I just don't feel comfortable enough putting him in there, even knowing his body of work. So that's where we're at on that one. So the other great thing about this tournament is, as we talked about, it's setting up next year's draft table. James Higgins versus Porter Marton, and then the one guy that wasn't at under-18s, Anton Frundell. And that's another guy whose absence made him look better, because Sweden was not good without him. That team really struggled. They ended up taking the bronze medal, but boy, were they really tough to watch. They didn't have a guy that could really drive play. Anton Frundell is that. He's injured. Unfortunately, he may be out for the summer in terms of, not going to the World Junior Summer Showcase, not going to the Hlinka Gretzky Cup. Things like that are all potentially on the table. Those are rumors at this point, not confirmed reporting. It's just, we don't know what the injury status is going to be. But Higgins versus Marton versus Frundell, that seems to me, and of course, Michael Mies is in that mix as well. I think these players are at a tier above him at this point. He is the exceptional status player playing for Saginaw. We'll see how he does at the Memorial Cup. But to me, Higgins versus Marton versus Frundell, that's what we got. 2025 preview on the way. All right. So we've gotten through the draft lottery. We've gotten through the NHL's under-18 World Championship. And now we're going to talk about the USHL Clark Cup Finals, which you can watch exclusively on Flow Hockey. Fargo Force versus the Dubuque Fighting Saints, two of the best teams all season long. Fargo with a record-setting season. They ended up getting past Sioux City in five games in the Western Conference Final. Dubuque had no trouble getting through Muskegon in the Western Conference Final, and Dubuque has been absolutely rolling this postseason. And so this is a great, great matchup. I'm hoping to get to the games that are in Dubuque. It's a best-of-five series, so first to three wins the Clark Cup. We've seen a lot of years. Last year, Youngstown won the Clark Cup. A ton of players from their team got drafted. I think that certainly there are draft-eligible players on both of these teams, but there are also guys that are already drafted. We've got a tremendous goalie matchup on hand. Kevin Riedler, Ottawa Senators draft pick, who's playing for the Dubuque Fighting Saints, has a .951 save percentage so far in these Clark Cup playoffs. He has been outstanding. Hampton Slikinski has been very good for the Fargo Force. He's a Los Angeles Kings prospect. And then when we look at this, the eyes are going to be on Max Swanson of the Fargo Force. Now, Max Swanson is a 5'8" forward with tremendous skill. Plays, he's been a productive player. He set the single season record for points by a Fargo Force player this year, and he has been on a roll in these playoffs. 12 points so far in the postseason for Max Swanson as he continues. The big question is, as a 5'8" forward, is there enough for him to be drafted? I think winning a Clark Cup, leading a team there, I think that's going to help his resume. You talk to scouts, just like, I think he's going to be a really good college player. I don't know if he's NHL. This is his opportunity to really prove himself and show himself. So really excited to have that. Game one will be on Friday. So make sure you set your timer for that. Get subscribed. Watch game one. Game two Saturday. Then that goes back to Dubuque the following Friday and Saturday. And then if they need a game five, it'll be the following Tuesday. So the next potential 2 weeks, you will be able to get your fill of Clark Cup playoff hockey, the finals. It is a tough trophy to win. And these two teams, the Fargo Force and the Dubuque Fighting Saints, have made it all the way there. So make sure you are watching that. It is going to be great on flowhockey.tv. All right. Well, it's been a few weeks since I've been able to do this, but now we are going to talk to our listeners. And thank you for your questions that you have sent in. We're talking NHL draft today, and we are going to do our listener Q&A. And as always, you can hit me up on Twitter at Chris M. Peters, and I will try to answer your questions on the podcast. But we get our first question today from Jenna. And Jenna asks, dark horses or potential late round steals from the under 18s this year? So, Jenna, it's a great question. And it is one that I think, you know, those tournaments often allow players to kind of establish themselves. Teams that haven't seen them all year might get a glimpse of something and say, wow, there's a lot there that I like. One guy that I think really stood out in the tournament that will be kind of that mid-round pick that I think teams are very excited about. And spoiler alert, he is going to be on Flow Hockey next year because he just got picked by the Dubuque Fighting Saints first overall in the USHL Phase 2 draft. And his name is Heikki Ruohonen, to my Finnish friends. Even 2 weeks there, apparently it didn't help my Finnish pronunciations very well. But he had 47 points in the U20 ranks this year in Finland. However, at the World Under 18s, he had 5 points, 3 goals, 2 assists. He was physical. He kind of showed some power elements in his game. He's 6'1", almost 200 pounds. You know, coming over to North America, going to get a feel for this. We've seen this happen where, you know, the import players coming to the USHL, they get a chance to experience the international or the more National Hockey League style of play, the North American style of play on the smaller arenas, more physical. I think this is a guy that could very well go in the third round. I think I liked what I saw in this tournament. I thought there was a lot there that he did to kind of showcase himself as a potential draft prospect, above some of the guys that we really expected to dominate in the tournament. But, you know, that was a guy that I really liked. So Heikki Ruohonen is one player that I think is kind of a little bit further down, but, you know, that you would definitely like to see and in that draft and a guy that I think will get a lot of attention going forward. You know, I think there are a couple of other players that had moments in the tournament. You know, I look at the Czech team that played, you know, they played well. They played well in certain games and not as well in others. But, you know, I thought that some of the guys that looked all right, Maximilian Curran, who I think he's a big forward. I think he'll be a later draft pick, but he plays the game hard. He plays it heavy. He's good on the forecheck. Just at his size at 6'3", 190 pounds. He only had 3 points in the under 18 worlds. He had 32 points in the WHL this season, but I think as a depth forward, I think there are a lot of NHL traits in his game. It's just going to take a little while to kind of mine those out of him, but he's one that I definitely liked a fair amount in that draft class. Another guy that I think would be a little bit later as well is Peter Sikora, who played for Czechia as well. He had a goal and an assist in the tournament, not necessarily the best tournament overall, but he had 22 games of professional hockey this year in the Czech league, and then also had 40 points in 30 games in the Czech U20 league. So this is a player that I think, you know, as a later round pick, there's a little bit there. We need to see more offensive capability from him in order for him to make it. But that's another guy that kind of stood out to me based on what I saw at the World Under 18 Championship. I think there are other players, like you look at Team USA and say, okay, well, which guys can we get later from this U.S. team that's been watched in all year long? I think Max Plant, incredibly heady player, good vision. I think he's a late round pick. There's a lot like there. His older brother Zam was a late round pick. You know, some similar things there. Just I think in terms of the hockey sense and different things that he does, those are things I like. So those are just a few of the guys I think a little bit later in the draft could be, you know, good to get picked. And players that, you know, at least gave themselves a better chance here in the World Under 18s. All right, our next question comes from a Random Task. And Random Task asks, do you think anyone in this draft other than Celebrini will play in the NHL this coming season, even if it's just a 9-game sample? Good question. I've said it before, and I think that, you know, Celebrini isn't a 100% lock to play in the NHL this year. I think it's very likely that he does. I think it's more likely he goes to the NHL than returns to Boston University, but it's not out of the question. I think depending on what team wins the lottery and where he goes, he's going to know probably tonight what his plans are for next season. However, outside of that, I think Artem Levshinov has a chance. I wouldn't call it likely. I think he'll have options, you know, as of next season. We'll see what happens in terms of, will he sign with the team immediately after? Will he go back to Michigan State? There is great evidence that a second year of college leads to a higher level of readiness for players. We saw Cale Makar do it, Quinn Hughes, Zach Werenski. See a number of players that have taken that second year and gotten themselves a little bit more prepared, and then they jump right into an NHL lineup and contribute. You know, Brock Faber spent 3 years. He was a Calder Trophy candidate right away. So that'll be interesting to see. I think Levshinov, in terms of his physical makeup, different things like that, will help. The Russian guys, you're not going to see them next year. So, you know, you take out Salayev, you take out Demidov, not going to see them. But then you say, okay, well, maybe Sam Dickinson. I think that him stepping right into the NHL next year, I don't think that his hockey sense is at a level where he's going to be able to do that. But if there is another guy that I think could potentially make that jump, it's Konstantin Hellenius, because he played pro hockey in Finland last year. He's playing with the senior national team. I know that there are people that believe that he could potentially make that jump. He's not a big guy, but he's strong. He's mature. He's poised. You know, he checks a lot of the boxes for a player that could potentially do it. Will it happen? I'm not so sure. However, I think Celebrini, I think he's the only one that I could say yes right away to the NHL. The rest you could kind of wait and see. But I think, you know, Hellenius is one of those guys that could potentially be that guy. All right. Our next one comes from The Gargoyle, and we'll know a little bit more about where the Montreal Canadiens are picking. But before we do now, what are the Canadiens' hopes of getting Demidov or Lindstrom if they are picking fifth or sixth? Seems very unlikely on Demidov, but what about Lindstrom? I would completely agree that I think that it's unlikely that Demidov would be available at fifth or sixth. It's not impossible, but I think last year, you know, we saw how quickly Matvei Michkov was able to slip out of the top five. I guess that could happen with Demidov, but I think it's less likely. I think for Lindstrom, it's absolutely a possibility. But the question is does that make him the right pick? Obviously, as the size, I think that if the Habs want to get bigger, and they should, he checks that box. He's a center. He is quick. He is physical. He does a lot of things well. The question is the risk factor. Do you take that risk that we talked about earlier in the show? Do you take the opportunity? You know, here's a player that's already having some back issues and different things. You know, what do we do about that? I think that's going to be a discussion that you have to have at the combine. And he's one of those players where, you know, the medical testing is going to probably be the most important element of his draft status, because on ability and on upside and on everything that we see, he's a player that certainly could go in that top five, top 10 range. It's just going to come down to that risk factor. And so I think your chances of seeing him available at fifth or sixth are high at this point. It's just a matter of, will the Habs take on that risk? All right. We got another one here from Steven39, and he asks, if you had to identify a prototypical Bill Armstrong type of defenseman in this draft class, who would it be? Well, Bill Armstrong, of course, the general manager of Utah. So we haven't been able to talk about that on the podcast, but Utah, the Utah Hockey Club. And, you know, I think you look at Bill Armstrong's past, and he's always going to err on the side. He likes bigger defensemen. He got Dmitry Simashev last year. And so I think if you're looking at the top of the draft, Anton Salayev is a guy that would fit into that mix. I think as you go further down the board, you know, you think about different guys that could potentially be a fit there. I think Charlie Ellick from the Brandon Wheat Kings is a guy that later in the draft would be a potential guy. EJ Emery, you know, you look for size and upside, and you think about, you know, the fact that they took a real chance on Colton Parayko when he was with the St. Louis Blues. What do they take a chance on? Size and upside, and also a guy that you felt could play a little bit more of a physical brand of hockey. I think that's a guy like Charlie Ellick. That's a guy like EJ Emery. It's a guy, you know, Will Skahan maybe in the second or third round. You know, those are the types of players that I think you typically see. So you're usually looking for size and upside. I think the guys that I mentioned, you know, Salayev is the highest upside of any of those guys. So I think that absolutely would be a Bill Armstrong type of defenseman. But we'll have to see where Utah ends up. I mean, there's always the chance they get Celebrini and get to start off right after the Arizona Coyotes never once won a draft lottery moving up. to make a pick. So yeah, if they win the lottery the first time they're not in Arizona anymore, that is going to cause some problems for some people, mostly in Arizona. I think Salt Lake City would be very excited about Macklin Celebrini, and I think that would be a big boost to that whole operation that is really starting to get going, because there's a lot of excitement among the artists formerly known as the Coyotes. All right, our last question of the day comes from Maxwell, and Maxwell says, who is the first defenseman off the board and who is the second forward? We talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the show, and I would say Maxwell, who also clarified, maybe you should answer this after the draft lottery. The draft lottery and the order is going to impact this, but I do think that, you know, to me, it's going to be down to Artem Levchinov or Anton Silaev to be the number one defenseman off the board. I think it's going to come down to the upside versus risk and everything else, because I think that Levchinov is the most complete of the defensemen in this draft class. He's the most exciting to me in terms of what's there. But I think Silaev has his fans and there's a bit of mystery there. I think there's a lot that, you know, teams want to be able to develop that raw ability that he's shown this year. And could get, as soon as they could get their hands on him. But, you know, Levchinov is already in North America. He's already shown it at the NCAA level, which is, you know, been a proven development path for NHL caliber defensemen. And, you know, I think it's no doubt it should be Levchinov. But I'm not the only one that thinks that, but I'm also not the only one that, you know, there's a lot of other options out there. As far as the second forward of the week or of the draft, the second forward that'll go, I really do think it's going to be Demidov. We talked about it. I think he is the home run selection of the forwards. He looks the part the most to be a dominant scoring forward at the NHL level. The question is, he was so dominant against the U20 ranks this year. Will he get enough playing time in the KHL next year to take that next step? Is he going to need time once he comes over to North America to adjust? I just think that everything we've seen from Demidov is that he is an elite level offensive player. He has strength. He has speed. He has talent. He has it all. To me, I think Ivan Demidov, risk and all, is worth it as the second forward off the board. And as we close out this week's show, after your great questions, I want to thank you all for asking those questions. But as we close out this show, I'm thinking about, this is the time where in about an hour after we record this, an NHL team's fortunes are going to dramatically change. Macklin Celebrini to me he's not Connor Bedard level hype, but I really do feel, and I've said this many times in the podcast, that he is not that far away from Connor Bedard impact. He is one of the most complete players I've ever watched for a draft class. He is probably one of the players that is easiest to root for because he does everything the right way. He handles himself well. He's got maturity. He carries himself well off the ice. He's a nice person as well. You know, having met him and having done some work, you know, I think that whoever gets him is getting a bona fide superstar face of their franchise. And all it is going to take is the ping pong balls bouncing the right way, and you have a franchise changing moment. That's what makes the draft lottery incredibly fun. It's what gives me incredible secondhand anxiety, but we're going to have a blast watching it. So come back next week. We'll talk more about draft order. We'll talk more about that. Also, make sure you get over to Flow Hockey to get my mock draft. As soon as we have the order of the lottery, the order of selection, I will go in and start plugging in my draft, my mock draft for the lottery team. So get ready for that. Flowhockey.tv is where you will find it. So as we wrap up the show, just want to say a huge thanks to Nikki for producing today. I want to thank all of you that asked questions and, of course, all of you that are listening to the show. It is so nice to have you guys here. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We have, we want to get this show growing, want to make it bigger and better, and we hope that you guys will help us do that by leaving kind ratings and reviews, 5 stars if possible. And then also want to remind you, subscribe to flowhockey.tv for all the great content that we have, also all the great games that are coming up. We've got an announcement coming this week that I'm really excited about partnership. So there's so much coming along the way. It's been a great year so far. We are still in the throes of the draft season, so you will not want to miss it. But that is going to do it for this week's episode. We made it to the end. I'm jet lagged. I'm tired. I got a cold, but we made it all the way through. Thanks for sticking with me, and we will catch you next week on Talking Hockey Sense. My name's Chris Peters. We'll see you next time.